We're going to start in the Gospel of Mark here again today, and we had the story here of Jesus cursing the fig tree and how it dried up at its roots and how amazed Peter was at it. And this is what it says here in Mark 11:20 in the middle here. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." This is a very strong word, and if you just took this by itself, you might get a little bit fooled here to think that almost like you're God. Okay, there's a mountain back there, right up there, that big mountain. If I just say, "Lord, I believe that you're going to move that mountain, so I'm going to pray for that mountain to go splash over there in the sea." Do you guys expect to see that happen? Why not? Isn't that what Jesus said? "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea.'" Or maybe I could do it like some of those preachers do. "Be removed and cast into the sea." Does it work better if I do it that way?
Yeah.
That. Any mountain moving?
No.
Why not? Because what? But isn't God bigger than the mountain?
Yes.
Well, why? Well, how come he can't do it then? Why doesn't he do it?
Because he's Jesus.
Because what?
He's Jesus. He can do it because he's Jesus.
He can do it, but why doesn't he do it? If I ask him to, I just did.
It's not the mountain.
Okay.
Is it?
Okay. So you're saying that it has to be according to his will. But it doesn't say that in that verse, does it? But that's not the only verse in the Bible, is it? Okay, so let's look and see what it says here. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. This is how much confidence I can have in him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This is how much confidence I can have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and if he hears us, if we know that he hears us, what does it say? Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've asked of him. So it isn't just calling on the mountain, because the first thing that Jesus says in Mark 11:22 helps us to understand that. He says this to them, "Have faith." Is that all he says? In God. Have faith in God. You know, you can watch a lot of movies, especially a lot of Disney movies, where they talk about just believe. If you believe in your dream, you'll have your dream. You just have to believe. You just have to believe. Power of positive thinking. But that's not what faith is. Faith is not just believe. Faith is believe in God. Faith is putting your trust in God. You see, the word faith means this: to depend on, rely on. That's a different idea, isn't it? Because faith has to have an object, and the object is God himself. Because if I put faith in myself, then what I'm doing is saying I'm depending on myself. If you go to get an operation, at some point, before you go under, you have decided to put your faith in the doctor. Am I right? You put your faith in the anesthesiologist and the nurses and the people that are looking after you, because you're done, right? Once they knock you out, it's all up to them then, isn't it? So there's a step of faith that you're making, saying, "I'm depending on these people to get this done." Well, faith is depending. In this case, it's speaking of Jesus saying, "Have faith in God." That means I'm depending on God. That means I'm trusting him. That means I'm relying on him. And if I'm depending on him and trusting on him, it isn't so that I can play tricks, move a mountain and splash it into the sea. God is the object of our faith. God is the person that we're depending on. So if I'm really depending on God, if I'm relying on God with the faith of a child, because Jesus spoke about it, he said, unless you have faith as a little child, you'll no wise get into the kingdom of God. And what do we discover with little children? What do? They trust their parent, right? They rely on them. They hold their hand. They're guided by them, and they know they're guided by them. They depend on them for everything. A little infant depends on his parents for everything. Now, when they get older, they think they can do anything and go anywhere, right? They think they're smarter than their parents, right? Sure. Yeah, but Jesus is actually speaking about little infants when he speaks about that passage. And he wants us to have the faith of a little child, an infant. And that faith of a little child is a place of dependence. It's a place of reliance. And so when he challenges them, when he says, when Peter was amazed to see this fig tree dried up, but it was dried up because God had a plan it, because God wanted to teach us something, which we talked about last week. God has a plan for all things at all times. So if I walk in the Spirit of God, if I live in humble dependence upon Him, I will see mountains move. I will see the things move that need to be moved in the work of the kingdom of God. It won't be, okay, Lord, I would like, I want a car that's twice as long as the one I already got. I want one, I want a house four times bigger than the one I have. And God is not interested in you fulfilling what your wishes are, because he knows how easily you can go astray with those things, can't you? You can be drawn in and sucked in by the world's ways and think that, oh, if only I have more stuff, I'll be a happier person. I tell you, that's not true. I've met lots of people with lots of stuff, and I've seen as much or more misery among them than I have among people who have very little stuff. So God knows what we need more than we know. So when we take the idea or the concept of the prayer of faith, which is a very important thing, because Jesus challenges us that we need to believe when we're praying. We need to trust God when we're praying. But I'll tell you what, if all your prayers are about God, do this for me. God, I want you to do this now. And God, I want you to do this. And I'm not getting to know him. I'm like a husband and a wife that... if all the wife ever did was come to the husband and say, I want you to take the garbage out. Oh, the garbage is out. Put it out there. He comes back. Now I want you to do the dishes. Oh, I'm not going to do the dishes. And now I want you to paint the outside of the house. Oh, well, I'm going on, paint the outside of the house. And if that's all that was going on in a relationship, how long do you think the husband is going to carry on like that? Not long. Why? Because there's no relationship. Now, when Jesus says to have faith in God and to say to the mountain, move into the sea, if you're believing, it'll happen, he's talking about a place and a context where you actually have faith in God, where you're depending on God, where you're in a relationship with him. So that if the wife is wooing the husband and loves him and spends time with him and encourages him and walks with him and says, dear, would you take the garbage out? Oh, sure, honey. I'd just love to do that for you. So he does, right? Right? You got all this, wives? This is the other way around, too, for husbands, too, okay? It's the same thing, okay? So you see the difference? There's relationship. There's love. There's interaction. There's care. There's a getting to knowing. So that the person, you know what actually happens after a while? The husband says, oh, I got to get the garbage out. She doesn't even have to ask him, right? Because he begins to know what she wants. She begins to know what he wants. Because it's a relationship. And this is what God is always interested in, is a relationship with him. So that when we see these incredible promises of answered prayer, I don't want to take away from the reality of them, because they're real. And I have seen God amazingly, miraculously answer prayer. I have seen him give me prayers of faith that I could never have mustered up on my own, where I was certain that God was going to answer that particular prayer. And I knew that it would happen, and it did happen. And friends, that is who God is. He delights to answer prayer. The problem is lots of times we're not even in the same planet as he is. We're praying stuff that is not prayer at all. We're praying to the ceiling. We haven't gotten into any kind of a love relationship or a dependency relationship on God at all. And so then we begin spouting off prayers that we think that God is going to answer. And he says, I'm not even listening to you. Because it's not what you're asking for is no good for you. It's no good for anybody. Come back to me first. Get to know me. Depend on me. Lean on me. Where's your faith as a little child? Humble yourself. You see, prayer is a place of communion and relationship with God. That when you walk in the Spirit of God, when you're saying, Lord, it's not my life, it's not my way. Lord, whatever you say, I am here and I'm willing to surrender my life to you, my future, my thoughts and everything. Then prayer begins to become a powerful experience. It really does. Then when you come with your requests, they're thought out. When you come with a request, you've waited on God. You said, Lord, show me your way. Show me your will. And as you do that, then you're able to pray with such a confidence because you already know what the will of God is. You already know what his heart is in a particular matter. And so then you can pray with such confidence, friends. Now that means it's not like this big shortcut that just, I'll just say this prayer and just as long as I believe it's strong enough. That's been tried over and over. It doesn't work that well. But when you rest in the Lord, when you are walking with God, then you're careful in your prayers. Then you're asking God particularly for that which you know pleases him because he knows best in the long run. There's a place where we surrender our independence and we begin to lean on Jesus Christ for a wisdom beyond ourselves. I'll tell you what. Every Sunday when I go to preach, it's always like this. I struggle. I do. I do. Because I don't want to speak what I have to say. And there are times when I'm preparing for a message, and I usually go through it at least at some point in the journey of preparing a message. And what I do is I take the scriptures and I read them, like by tonight I'll have read next Sunday's message. The passage, and then I chew on it because it's memorized, it's in my head, and so I'm thinking on it all week long. I go to sleep thinking about scripture. There's times when I'm in my dreams, I'm dreaming about the text and the message and things like that. But it doesn't come together until at some point in the week. Now I've prayed different times, but there seems to be a point where I really let go. Where I really surrender the whole thing and say to Jesus, now God, you do something with this because I can't. I always come to this struggle of crisis where I don't know how to get this out. And you might think, oh no, that guy gets up there and he can go on all day long and it's no problem at all. The only reason why I can speak the way that I do is because at some point I surrender and I say, God, you must do something here. I am trusting you. I'm letting go of this whole thing. I'm letting go of the message and how it's going to come together. And when I do that, all of a sudden, scripture begins to flood my mind. A passage over here, a thought about this, an illustration. It just happens. And then, even then, I still don't have it all together. I never have it all together. I get up and I'm just saying, okay, God, do the rest. Do the rest, Lord. Put this together so that somebody understands what's being said. And he does. He does. And I have a confidence that he will do it. He always has to bring me to a place where I actually believe that God is going to share truth with you. So that's my experience in having faith in God and trusting him that he can and that he will. Because I know that I can't. Oh, if we could learn in our walk, and it's not just for sermons, friends, it's for everything in life. Whatever it is you're going to venture out to do tomorrow, why not stop and talk to God about it and tell him, Lord, I can't do this, not as good as it can be done, not as the way it should be done, but I know that you can. Teach me to trust you, Lord. You know, there was a man in the Bible who had brought his son to Jesus, and this is a story we looked at a while back. And in that passage, is in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, This man had a demonic son who was in just it was in a horrible mess. And he wanted him to be healed, and no one could do anything for him. The apostles couldn't touch it. They said, how come we can't cast him out? And Jesus said, this kind does not come out but by prayer and fasting. And what he was telling them was, you've lost your dependence on me. You've lost your connection with me. And that's why you can't do this. You see, you need a vital connection with Jesus Christ, or else you'll be spouting prayer. But will it really matter that his apostles found themselves in that very situation with this man, with this man's son? They couldn't do it, and they puzzled because God had given them the authority to do this very thing, and they couldn't accomplish it. How come we can't do it, they said. This kind does not come out except by prayer. You've lost your connection. Somehow you thought that you had this power, that you can go out and do stuff. But no, it's connected to me. It is your relationship with me that puts the connection, that enables things to happen. So Jesus said to this man, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe, Lord. But he felt the weakness of it. He felt that, you know, have you ever felt weak in your faith? I have. This man was weak in his faith. He says, I help my unbelief. He says, I don't think I believe as much as I should. I'd like to believe more. So help my unbelief. You don't know how many times in my life I've cried that prayer to God. Lord, help my unbelief. But you know, it's not how much faith you have, but it's taking the little bit of faith you have and putting it in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, he is more than able to accomplish it. You see, in Luke 17:3, Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you and says, I repent, you shall forgive him. Imagine, 7 times in a day. Do you know there's another passage where Peter actually asked the question, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Jesus had already said 7, so he pulls that out of the hat and says, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? Jesus said, not only 7 times, but 70 times 7. 449 times, Jesus said. Imagine. That's the mercy. That's the grace. That's how God's heart is about these matters. Well, the apostles said to the Lord, here's what they had to say about that. Lord, increase our faith. We have a hard time forgiving somebody once if they blow it. But imagine if they do the same thing 7 times and come back to you, and each time they say, I'm sorry. By the 6th time, are you really ready to say, I forgive you? You're ready to swat them in the side of the head. That's the reality of it. And so the disciples said, I can't do that. So they cried and said, Lord, increase our faith. I need a lot more faith if I'm going to be able to do that. Don't you feel that way? Certainly we do. You know what Jesus said? If you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Well, there's no mulberry tree around here. I'm not going to try, okay? But do you get the message? Here he speaks about a mulberry tree. But he's saying it's not how much faith you have, but it's actually practicing that faith. You see, a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds known to man. It's a really, really, really tiny seed. So Jesus is saying it's not how much faith you have. It's taking the little bit of faith you have and putting it in me. You see, it's not the faith in the end that brings the miracles. It's God himself. So, if you're looking at your faith, if I had as much faith as that guy did, I'd be able to pray and something would happen. So you're looking at how much faith you have. That's what they did. They were looking at how much faith they had. Lord, increase our faith was their cry out to Jesus, right? So they're looking at how much faith they have. If they only had more faith, then more things would be accomplished. If only I had more faith. But what you actually have, if you're a Christian, if you're truly saved, you have a great big God. A huge God. A God who's able to do more than you can ask and more than you can imagine. And so it isn't how much faith you have, it's seeing how big our God really is, taking the little bit of faith that I have and putting it in this great God. You've heard me quote Hudson Taylor 1,000 times, and I'll say it one more time. One man came to him, and Hudson Taylor did amazing things. He saw missionaries planted all over China with no money. He didn't know where it was going to come from. He asked God for it, and God provided, and it was incredible. So someone came to him and said, "You must be a man of great faith." And this was his answer. "No, I'm a man of little faith in a great God." Little faith in a great God. So don't strive to have more faith, not in that respect, but instead take the little bit of faith you have and put it in a great God. And then faith will grow. Faith will grow because it's being exercised. That's how faith grows. It grows from being exercised, not by trying to muster it up. So when Jesus said to them, "Have faith in God," he's actually talking about practically, in this moment, trust God. Take the little bit of faith you have. You know, the book of Romans says that a measure of faith has been given to every one of us. So you already have faith. If you're a believer today, you have faith. You do. Now take that little bit of faith and begin to trust God with it. So here's how it happens. First, I understand that that is depending on God and not on myself. That is depending on the Lord. Lord, I cast myself on you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I'm leaning on you. How do I do that? Well, I get to know who he is. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. I need to open the word of God, find out who God really is, discover his nature, know his love, know his power, know his judgments, know his righteousness. If I don't know any of those things, it's going to be very difficult. I'm putting my faith in something I don't even know. I don't even know who he is. Some guy up there with a white beard looks down once in a while. Yeah, we don't have any idea sometimes. But if I know who my God is, then as I take steps of faith in him, I see him, who he is. I'm hearing his voice. I'm learning his will. I'm walking in prayer with him. I'm leaning on him. And as that happens, my faith then is being exercised. I'm having faith, dependence on God. And as I depend on him, then I can begin to ask him for things that are on the incredible side of the ledger. And I'll tell you what, all of Christianity is really a miraculous life. And you begin to walk in the miraculous every single day as you walk and have faith in God. Let me encourage you today. Take steps in these directions. Don't start with trying to get that mountain to go down into the sea. Maybe you'll get there someday. Maybe God will want to happen. Someday the mountains are going to fall in the sea. It's going to happen. The end of the age. But start with this. God, humble me to be as a little child. Help my unbelief. Enable me to get to know you, Lord, so that I can begin to pray prayers of faith, that I have every confidence in you, not in myself, not in how much faith I have, but in you, that God hears and God answers prayer. And I'm done. Thank you, Lord. Teach us, O God. Show us the way of faith, the way of dependence. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.